Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Lauren Berry, and welcome to On Deadline, where we take a deep dive into a single topic from Odyssey's newsrooms across the country. Today, we're checking back on a story focused on America's capital city and the land of cherry trees and George Washington. It's Washington, D.C., and it's gone 12 days without a single murder following President Trump's federal takeover of the local police. A feat seen only one other time since the pandemic spike. The current streak without a homicide, 12 days, may not seem that impressive. That is, until you realize the nation's capital has one of the highest murder rates among major U.S. cities. There have already been more than 100 homicides there so far this year. In March, Washington went 16 days without a murder, and that feat was so notable that a police spokesman told the Washington Post that it was the longest period in at least 6 years. So, does this mean that Trump was right? Or is it just a minor blip in what will turn out to be an authoritarian regime that threatens the independence of America's most historic cities? Here's Odyssey talk show host Mark Cox with a conservative view on the matter.
Well, I think most every resident in D.C. wants him to end. You know, they're thrilled with what's happened. Pritzker put a tweet out. I don't know if you saw it. Your neighbor. You know, do not come, Donald Trump. You are neither wanted nor are you needed here in Illinois. Well, Pritzker, unfortunately, there are millions of Republicans that live in Illinois, and there are millions of people who are fed up with the crime in cities in your state. And he is wanted, and he is going to come, and you're going to look a fool when he fixes Chicago. Look, Mark, how many times have you and I discussed, if I had a dollar for every time we talked about a particular shooting in Chicago, we would have tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars, buckets of dollar bills. Okay?
Yeah.
The problem is fixable, and we've seen it in D.C. 12 days or 13 days now, I think, without a murder in D.C. Statistically, almost impossible.
Well, they've never heard of it. Stephen Miller said they've checked the history. It's never happened before. So, in other words, it is possible to reduce crime. If you take somebody else's life, you need to be locked up forever for that. How is that racist? I do not understand. Brandon Johnson has learned nothing at all and doesn't intend to.
No, because this is not about crime and fixing the crime problems in Chicago. It never has been. This is about political agenda over the safety and security of their residents. Now, when you look at D.C., people say, well, crime's not bad. Schumer said crime's not that bad. Crime is falling. Okay, you can have inflation at 12% and claim it's falling down to 9%, but it's still at historic highs.
Yes.
In 2024, D.C.'s murder rate, just so people understand what we're talking about here. In 2024, D.C.'s murder rate was 136% higher than that of Louisiana, which is the nation's worst state. And a stunning, get this, and I'll quote John Lott here, 434% higher than the national state average. Of the nation's top 25 most populous cities, D.C. had the worst murder rate, 20% higher than second place Indianapolis and 179% higher than the entire group's average. So it can be fixed. And again, I point out, we talk about it all the time. When you raise the risk of committing crime, crime falls.
Yeah.
That simple.
So, if it's all wine and roses in D.C. these days, WCCO asked its listeners if they would support the National Guard coming into Minneapolis, if it would mean crime would decrease. The answers? Well, they might surprise you.
In light of what's happened in Washington, D.C., with federal authorities and National Guard troops patrolling the streets to ensure safety, now the president talking about doing it in Chicago, maybe New York, it would not be out of the realm of possibility to if Minneapolis makes that list at some point.
That's right.
And the question is simple. Do you want to see federal authorities / National Guard troops in Minneapolis to enforce laws to ensure safety? We had some comments from Steve and his wife, who are from Cambridge, they voted yes. I'll say at the fair, most people are voting no, but Steve and his wife voted yes, saying that they know friends who just don't want to come downtown over the perception that it's not a safe place, and they would want to see that. Most of the people here voting say no. So we got a gentleman over here who wants to give a comment.
I just want to say that when he sends out the National Guard, he's sending it. He's picking cities that are run by Democrats. It's like, why doesn't he do it to Republican cities?
Right.
And the other thing,
which also have high rates of crime, by the way.
The thing is, he does it for a photo op.
Yep.
He wants to be there and look good with all these cops, and then he's cutting the budgets to the Washington, D.C. Police Department. They needed like $1 billion. He slashed that in his budget. And then it just seems like he's making it all about him.
Yep.
And that's very on brand. That's what President Trump
very
does. It's always
brand.
About him. It's always about the photo op. We get that. We know what we elected. It totally is all about him. But I just want to, for the listeners on the radio now that are finally joining us, and thanks for sticking with us, the majority of people to our fair question are voting no, that they don't want to see federal and national troops in Minneapolis, a city that has, a problem with crime.
Yep.
One person came up and voted yes, and then two more came and voted yes. And it was an interesting study about human nature, how a lot of people don't want to not go with the crowd. So that's why the people that voted yes, we asked them to come on the show and explain why.
Sure.
And of course, they explained that many were afraid to come downtown. And I disagree with that sentiment because I work downtown every day. I go to Twins games there. We go out to dinner downtown. I don't feel afraid walking around downtown. I'm not out after midnight walking around downtown Minneapolis, but I think it's okay. Could it be better? Could we have less crime in Minneapolis? Absolutely. Police should never be defunded, and we should have more. David, did she want to come on the air? Sir, would you like to join us on the air here?
Here's an individual who just voted yes. Thank you for stepping up. Sir, what's your name, and why do you say yes?
My name's Tom, and I worked in downtown Minneapolis until 2 years ago, and it's gotten really... I deliberately did not go downtown in the evening. It's an unsafe place. You park your car and you worry about it getting broken into, and the police acknowledge that they've kind of lost control. I rode my bike to work one day, my bike got stolen, and I asked a cop, I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, that just happens. That's just, Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And people who think downtown Minneapolis is safe, I don't think that's true. I mean, I was there for quite a few years, and I saw it go from... It was safe, and I'm not sure when it's changed, but it's not safe anymore. That was my take.
Thank you, Tom.
And Tom, I appreciate those sentiments. I also, like Jordana, I work downtown every single day. And I think at certain times of day, probably you would feel for your safety. And I think you can say that of any metropolitan area. I think there's probably a lot of rural areas where you just don't want to be at certain times of day. And I get that. I get the sentiment. I get the urge to say we demand to feel safe.
Yeah.
And I fully believe in resources for our police department. Mm-hmm. We talk to the police chief once a month, who's doing a hell of a job, in my opinion, of trying to build the ranks of the Minneapolis Police Force back into a respectable organization again. Mm-hmm. My theory on this is that if you look, you could be cheering from the rooftops right now saying, bring them in, bring in the troops, bring in the feds, clean this mess up. I don't see scenarios over time and over history where we've seen a militarized view of a city and that is looked back upon as a positive thing. I don't want to see military in the streets. I think 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we'll look back at this and say, wow. I don't think that was the right move. I think that was a little bit of overstepping to exactly our first commenter's points that it's all for show. It's all in cities of where you typically have leaders who disagree with him.
Yes.
And this is simply for show.
We got another fan here at the fair who just voted no to our question. This is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
I don't believe the National Guard should be deployed in these cities. There's local law enforcement should be handling the responsibility of patrolling their own communities. I'm a Marine Corps veteran, and I served at Camp Pendleton, where they deployed the Marines from in Los Angeles. And now the cities that they're deploying the National Guard to, the crime rates have actually gone down. I think it's Chicago. They said the crime rates have gone down, you know, 30% from last year. And yet we're imposing this one man's version of martial law into these local communities. And, you know, where does it stop? And, you know, is there a list of cities? Is it going to be one after another after another where we're counting on the National Guard to do our local community's police work and to keep the peace? I just think it's ridiculous, and I'm opposed to it. And like I say, I think it just makes this country one step closer to a martial law type of setting, which I'm definitely opposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your service, too, by the way. We appreciate it.
And I, too, agree with that. But where does it stop when the crime gets close to almost none? Like, I would say, even though crime rates are dropping, there might still be a lot of crime. It is true what he says. Crime rates are dropping. Crime rates are dropping in Washington, D.C. You know, there are statistics about that. That is the truth. But crime could still be high, and people could still feel unsafe. And I have a fear of looking back and saying, boy, I was on the wrong side of history on that one. I don't want to be that person. That's why I feel so conflicted about this. But also, I don't want carjackers running around our city thinking it's okay to steal bikes or it's okay to steal cars. It's okay to pull elderly people out of their car, beat them, and go for a joyride. None of that is okay. And if the local police organizations can't get it done, like even in our city, we lost 800 sworn officers after 2020, after the murder of George Floyd. We are down officers. We need help. And it takes a while to get back to that status. So I can't believe I'm arguing this point, but maybe getting a little help from the federal government can keep the city safer. And then a fully trained, fully staffed police force can come in and take over. But the criminals need to be sent a message. You don't get free rein in the city. It's like parenting. We need to bring out the big guns. The mom needs to come in when the kids are behaving, right? If dad lets them run amok, no offense to the dads.
We have local police. That's why we have local police. Well, then, you know what? The federal government should say, here's a bunch of money instead of spending on taking our troops who are trained for something else to put them into cities. Say, hey, guess what? We're going to move through Congress and approve this all this money for local police forces to try to retain and recruit new police officers.
And I would agree with that. And I think that is a great solution. But that's not going to happen. Our Congress is impotent and incompetent. I have zero faith in our congressional delegates or our Senate to pass any meaningful legislation whatsoever. And I am not a fan of President Trump. I did not vote for him. But I, too, am tired of crime. So I feel like maybe we need some help from the federal government to get us back on our feet locally, certainly in Minneapolis. I mean, if you ask the chief, he'll tell you we're still down in numbers.
Yeah.
So even getting a bunch of money, which will never happen because of the impotence that we have in our legislature, and really at the federal level, there's no appetite for that because it doesn't look good at Trump if he just gives us money to do what Mayor Fry wants to do. It doesn't look good for him, so there's no benefit to him. That is never going to happen. So I just feel like we need to get back on our feet. We need to be cities that say no, that are tough on crime. And then when we can build up our own reserves, then we can say thank you very much to the National Guard and they can go away.
How about I read some texts here? And by the way, if you haven't voted yet, come on up. Or if you have a strong opinion on this, either maybe you think both of us are crazy that you want federal help. Come on up and make your case. Yes, it would make me feel safer. I'm downtown on the weekends, and it isn't the safest. No, that would be overstepping his constitutional authority. We cannot take the limits for granted. Absolutely not. No National Guard here. If anything needs to be done, it can be handled by governors and mayors. And if the governor decides the National Guard needs to come in, he's the one to make that decision. It's all about politics. Trump is just making a grandstand play for his own attention, targeting only blue cities. 100% no on troops in Minneapolis. That's bull crap. He's just doing it to intimidate. Absolutely not. National Guard will make people less likely to come downtown. No troops on our streets. That's fascism. That's from Deb. No, I don't want to live in a military state. You guys lean left. Your audience is more likely people the same vein, not complicated. Okay, well, you voted and you just texted in, so not everybody. The police can work, and that's what they're there for.
I just feel like if it's not working, if we can't get the money, if we can't get the funds, you take a step. Maybe it has a limited time, you know, 30 days. I believe they're only going to be in Washington 30 days, or that's when the federal mandate will expire. I'm just a person who, if something's not working, let's not do more of the same thing. So if we need help, and I listen to the chief, he says, yes, we need more local police officers. Yes, we need more money. Yes, we need more time to train them. I hear all of these things. So dumping a bunch of money on us isn't going to make those things happen tomorrow. So, but, and I also am a tough on crime person. I also believe that, you know, repeat juvenile offenders should be treated as adults. You know, if you know who the gangs are, go out, and we need to somehow, or you know, put your a police presence or a National Guard presence where a lot of gang activity happens to protect the other citizens around it. Protect the shops on 38th and Chicago. They're saying there's still crime there. Well, we want to rebuild 38th and Chicago. We want people going to those shops to spend money. So people need to feel safer going to those spots. And at this point in time, I hope I don't look back on this in 10 years, Jordana, and say, what was I thinking? I just think we could use some federal help. Am I nuts? I mean, I know a lot of people think I'm nuts, but
I think you are. I don't think there's a scenario that plays out where you see some of these videos with masked federal agents roaming on the streets of an American city that you look back on and say, boy, that was really, that was a great time in our
lives. That's devastating. And I agree. I don't think we should be rounding up people off the streets.
By the way, just because I make that argument, don't come at me. I'm not saying you are, but oh, you must be soft on crime. You must want criminal. No. Nobody's saying that, mm-hmm. But that's why we've got a system in place that we've had since the start of the country where you have local police forces and local police do those jobs. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you can point to the crime numbers dropping. I know there's a lot of people that dispute that. That's fine. But crime is going. Look at New York in the 80s and the 70s. It was all murders all the time.
Yep.
Did we send in the National Guard and the troops to New York City to get law and order restored back then? No, it's up to those communities to figure that out.
I hear you, but they take a long time. That kind of we had Murderapolis, you know, back in the 90s or whatever, I don't know when it was. Was it the 2000s?
90s.
Yeah, the 90s. And eventually that changes also, but I understand we go through cycles. And I'm separating the immigration issue. This is completely separate. I want to make those two separate entities, the masked agents rounding up people that might be citizens, two separate entities. But I just feel like we need to take a stronger stance on crime. I'm just a regular citizen. I don't have the answer, but I know in my mind when I see police presence, even if it's guard, I think they're not messing around. I would be very wary to carjack somebody if they saw a National Guard troop sitting on the corner.
Let's go to Brian out here at the State Fair, who just voted yes to our question today.
Thank you. Yes, I think that the police deserve all the resources they need, but they're not being supported at a mayoral and a city council level. When crime is high and they start to change what is designated as a felony, for example, and mark it down, then they can say crime is down. See, crime is down, but they aren't charging people the way they need to. Think about people knocking windows out of these cars. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just going to be a misdemeanor or less, or it's under $900, so we're not going to charge you. Mm-hmm. It's those pieces that go into this puzzle, and maybe the National Guard isn't the ultimate answer, but somebody's got to stand up with the police. The police's hands are tied by the city council. You can't arrest these people for this. they're just acting out, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's back to the New York City broken window theory. I mean, if you just start ignoring smaller crimes, it grows. And why are we losing police? Because they aren't supported. Who wants to, there's a lot of fabulous men and women that want to be police officers.
Agreed.
But they want to be in a force that isn't undermined when they try to do their job.
And those numbers are going back up, by the way. We talk to the chief every month. Every month.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers of recruits to the Minneapolis police force,
mm-hmm,
going back up. Right. That's what I'm saying. Those programs are in place.
But it hasn't stopped. Crime is not down in Minneapolis. And if it takes the National Guard to come in for 30 days and make a difference like they're making a huge difference in D.C., I say why not?
Do we know they're making a huge difference in D.C.?
We do. It hasn't been a murder in 9 days.
Okay.
And crime is, if you've ever been to Union Depot,
yep,
it's a fabulous piece of architecture.
Yeah.
It's been taken over by the homeless. It's back to being a fabulous station with vibrancy and cleanliness. Okay. It takes some action to clean things up.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you for your comment.
On the same front, President Donald Trump has indicated that he may deploy National Guard troops to cities like Baltimore, Chicago, and San Francisco, following that deployment to Washington, D.C. But we're wondering how realistic that possibility really is. Here's KCBS Radio with more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
And that could be just the beginning. For more, we turn now to the KCBS Ring Central Newsline to speak with KCBS political analyst Mark Sandalo. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How has that deployment in D.C. been going?
You know, it's curious because, you know, people say, I mean, the National Guard, they're really just in tourist areas. I've been downtown, you know, a lot lately. I've seen very little presence, but starting today, they're carrying weapons. And, you know, that scares people. You know, the locals are not happy with these folks here. Mostly they seem to have been helping police go after, and to sound ridiculous, but people on mopeds, mostly delivery people who are delivering food, a high percentage of whom are immigrants, some of whom are undocumented. So they're using this as an immigration tool. Trump says crime has gone way, way down in D.C. There are no statistics really to back that up. So people are scratching their heads. There are confrontations with protesters, and it leads to questions. I mean, Chicago, the Washington Post reported, is next in September. Trump expects to send National Guard to Chicago. And in the Oval Office on Friday, he said Chicago, New York, and of course he mentioned one of his least favorite cities, San Francisco. He says, look what Democrats have done in San Francisco. They've made a mess of it. Maybe we'll send in, I can't remember the word he used, but we'll send people there to help clean it up.
I can only imagine the protests if that happens. The governor of Maryland was on Face the Nation over the weekend, and he actually, I guess, sent a letter inviting the president for a public safety walk to actually see what's going on. I don't know if that's going to be taken up or not.
No, the president already said, forget that. He said, you know, you clean up your city before I, you know, that it's a, I can't remember, he uses the word rats when he talks about Baltimore a lot, but says he has no interest in walking through Baltimore, that the mayor has to clean up the city. There is a reason that there is a, you know, 150-year-old tradition in the United States that the military is not used for law enforcement. The military, and that includes the Pentagon, as well as the National Guard, those are not intended to be, you know, to quell domestic violence. That is typically seen as something that's done in, you know, authoritative states. There are exceptions. The easiest exception is Washington, D.C., but that's because it's a federal city. It is, you know, something that the Constitution put under control of Congress. And as part of the laws that have been written around D.C., the president has full authority to use the National Guard in D.C., which might remind some people, remember the president said that it was Nancy Pelosi who should have called out the National Guard on January 6th during the insurrection. The president was the one with the full authority at that point to call out the National Guard. So he's within his rights in D.C., but to do it in Chicago, let alone San Francisco, he needs to declare, either the governor has to ask for help, and that certainly is nothing that Governor Pritzker or Governor Newsom are doing, or the president has to declare an emergency. Crime is terrible in Chicago, just as it is in San Francisco, but the crime rates are going down. So for him to declare an emergency is a reason to do it. Some people see is not going to hold up legally. We'll see. There's a case right now where Gavin Newsom has sued the government about sending troops out to Los Angeles. This is something which people fear is the first step towards the president trying to take control of local law enforcement.
Thanks, as always. We appreciate you. That is KCBS political analyst Mark Sandalo.
Of course, all of this controversy rolls up to one larger issue, and that's the question of overreach and oligarchy and whether Trump is guilty of both. The National Guard in L.A., the police takeover in D.C., the firing of a Bureau of Labor Statistics commissioner after a jobs report that Trump didn't like, continued threats to try to force Fed Chairman Jerome Powell out of his job over interest rates. And another case in point was exemplified just this week when Trump claimed, quote, sufficient cause to remove Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook immediately, pointing to accusations that Cook made false statements on mortgage agreements. Cook has refused to leave her position. She challenged the move in court, and many were left wondering if the president has the ability to fire anyone on the Federal Reserve Board. Here's KCBS with more.
Let's take a deeper dive into the president's firing of Fed Reserve Governor Lisa Cook. It'd be the first time a central bank governor has been fired by a president in 111 years of the Fed's existence. For more on this, we turn to the Ring Central Newsline to speak to Thane Rosenbaum, CBS legal analyst. And I realize, Thane, that there are allegations of wrongdoing, but don't there have to be more than just allegations?
Yeah, Eric. And, you know, the allegations are similar to what we've seen with Adam Schiff and Letitia James here in New York. Mortgage fraud, essentially telling banks that the house you're planning to buy is you're going to be your primary residence, when it's not. So this is now the third time that the Justice Department or President Trump has accused elected officials with whom he's had problems in the past of the same, very same crime. And ironically, that same crime is similar to what Letitia James got a nearly $500 million judgment against Donald Trump, which was overturned a week or so ago. But it's the same thing, fraud. The other thing is cause, right? You're fired for cause. It's not clear necessarily that that's even one of the bases for cause, right? That itself is a question. It doesn't just mean that you committed fraud. It could be. It's not just that you've not been convicted of a crime, but that wouldn't constitute a reason to fire in the first place.
Yeah, explain that a little bit. The legal basis for the administration claiming that they have cause, but it's not related to her job.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So you can think there, you could say all sorts of things about a person, and some of it could be, in fact, actually be true and illegal. But generally, cause has to do with something that really affects the job itself, right? Undermining the job itself. Committing some kind of crime related to the job itself, not related to your personal life and some financial impropriety there.
So obviously this is headed for court, federal court, and what sort of litigation should we be looking for?
I don't know if it's headed for court. I just don't. Again, everything with Donald Trump, I've been on, you know, how many times, or hundreds of times on your show, and I always repeat the same word, unprecedented. The things that we see that arise out of the Trump administration has never been tested before. So we really don't know. As you pointed out, when it comes to the Federal Reserve, it's pretty straightforward. You know, you get a 14-year term, right? You know, you do your job, you take a look at interest rates, you decide whether to drop them or raise them, you keep your eye on unemployment, and you keep your eye on keeping inflation low. That's what Powell and the other governors are saying they're doing. On the other hand, Donald Trump wants to take credit for a booming economy. And he's saying, if you don't continue to drop interest rates, the economy will not speed up. And you're making me look bad. And so I'm the president. I want to see you do this. They're saying our job is not to make you look good. It's to keep the economy steady. And we don't want to precipitously drop in this interest rates, because remember, we just came out during the Biden administration of a long period of increasing high inflation. So, you know, on the other hand, Donald Trump has only selected two of the 10 other governors, one of whom was Powell, which is ironic, because he was going to replace Powell. And when Powell's term is up, he will be replaced. But, you know, this is reminiscent of the court packing idea with the Supreme Court, right? You're dealing with a body at the federal level that has an enormous amount of power and deals with the area of separation of powers. And you have a president that's saying, yes, but you are undermining my agenda and you won't do what I say. So I have to find a way to replace you so that someone else can come in and do what I say, and they get a whole 14-year term.
I mean, the court's supposed to be independent. The Fed's supposed to be independent. So are there consequences, you know, given this action? Or do you expect there will be consequences about investor confidence or stability?
Well, you know, Margie, Congress is always in the role of investigation, not prosecutions, right? So a subcommittee of the Congress could say, you know, certainly the Finance Committee could say, this undermines American democracy. There's supposed to be independence in the Federal Reserve. The president of the United States is once again tinkering with an area, you know, and an extension of his powers that expands beyond the constitutional authority. So something like that could happen. Yes, I'm sure. I know that Cook is represented by counsel, and they may try to proceed in some other legal fashion. But Donald Trump is pretty sure that he has the authority to end her career on the Federal Reserve for cause, and he's defined what cause is. And that, of course, raises its own legal question. Will it get resolved in the courts? I don't know. One thing's for sure, she has no plan of resigning voluntarily.
Thank you, Thane. That's Thane Rosenbaum, CBS News legal analyst.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of On Deadline. It was written and produced by Christy Strauser and by me, Lauren Berry. Subscribe to On Deadline on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.